Good evening and welcome to Politically Incorrect with your host, Andrew Schechter. This week's topic is infrastructure, who pays for it? Brought to you by EternalAffairsMedia.com, also known as EA Truth Media. Your host tonight is myself, Andrew Schechter, author of Darkwater Game Over and two-time delegate for Donald Trump to the Republican National Convention. Please help us with a donation at donate.eamedia.online or by buying some bling at store.eamedia.online. Please help me keep the truth online. We open with a prayer. Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, we pray for all of us out there. We pray that you will see us through these trying times. We pray that you will give us strength and the power to continue. We know these times are passing times where you are lifting us over the dangers in front of us. We pray that you set us down in greener pastures. We count on you, we love you, we honor you, and we trust you for with our future and our lives. We pray these things in your heavenly, glorious name, O Lord. Amen. And I had an update. Let me see if I can find my update. Good evening, everyone. And stand by while I was asked to do an update, and I didn't do it. So I'm going to go with the old one for now because I've lost my notes. That's never good. All right, we're going with the old notes. And we have our patrons, Lisa, Reverend Dave, Alicia, Catherine, and Rudy. We also ask all our listeners to share this podcast with their friends. Send any suggestions that you might like to see or hear about. And you know, if you can throw us some pod beans or comments, any comments you have in the comment section, I'd be happy to review those and try to answer those during our show. And I'll catch our patrons. I apologize to any patrons I missed because I've lost my paper for some reason. I had here, I had it written down because it was on a shared drive, and a shared drive is not accessible for some reason. You got to love technology. So we're going to open with a little bit of an off-topic, a couple of off-topic things, as we always do. So I was laying in bed the other day, and I thought about this great story came to my head, and I figured I'd share it with my audience. A little bit light on the audience tonight, so it'll give us time to warm up, and then we'll go over the topic of the night. So I have this little alarm clock. Now you're going to wonder how this relates to Politically Incorrect or how it relates to politics or the general state of affairs, but it'll all wind around as it always does. So that's crazy little clock that I was given by a store manager at a Radio Shack store that I worked at years ago. Now this started the whole subject because I started thinking back. You know how when one thing brings up memories from the past, and suddenly I realized, boy, I've done a lot of crazy stuff, and some of my listeners I said, hey, you've done a lot of crazy stuff in your life. And I said, yeah, you think back, I really have. And you know, there are people that burn the candle at one end, or some burn it in both ends, and there are some that burn it in the middle. Well, I take that candle and I light it in about 16 different places and just wax dripping all over me. I remember when I was a kid, I used to have, at any given time until I was in my 40s, I used to have at least 3 girlfriends, 3 jobs, and 3 special projects I was working on, besides being in the fire department and helping to run it, being an administrative member and president, vice president, and board of trustees, being on the church groups, and just everything. Looking back, I'm like, how the heck could I have done that? So I thought that this idea of writing this book about my life story, mainly for my kids, because the kids never really know what's going on in their parents' lives, and I think it's a good time to write it. We're reaching that point where we're at the peak here. But I was looking at this crazy clock, which started this whole thing. It was a goofy clock that had four different alarms on it. And I had a hard time getting up in the morning. I don't know about anybody else, but even today, I can't use a cell phone. I don't want to have a cell phone in the room. I don't have any phones in the room. You want me in the, after I go to bed at night, you're going to have the cops knock on the door, because I just don't want to be bothered with phones ringing or pings or buzzes or anything. But anyway, I need at least three or four different times. You know, I used to take a clock before I got this alarm clock, and I'd push the button, the snooze button, until my hands got sore. This was cool because this has four different alarms on you could set. You shut each one off, it becomes like a snooze. Well, my boss at Radio Shack, where I worked, gave it to me. I kept looking at this thing. It was very expensive back then. It had a calculator on it, which I've used only occasionally for testing purposes. I never really used it for anything sensible. And it sat as a novelty for a while. And I started actually using it when I started really getting into my working world. And it went through the years, and this clock was the only thing that would get me up in the morning. It's a little thing. It would go in my suitcase on trips. It would go in my suitcase when I went on business trips later in life. A couple of times it woke me on a weekend when it shouldn't, because I forgot it was not a weekday and I had the alarm set. Once I threw it across the room and it smashed into a million pieces. Being the engineering type, I looked at it, and when that thing hit the wall, I said, you know what? That's like a good friend. That's like smacking a good friend in the side of the face. I said, you know what? I looked at the pieces of that clock and I cried, because you can't get another one. It's impossible to buy one of them. I spent the next 2 days piecing the clock back together, fixing the circuit boards. Looks good as new. Even put some putty on it to fix where the piece of plastic was missing on it. Back into in service, it went again. A little bit crankier for the effort. Sometimes you have to bang it a little bit to make it go, or kick it in the side, push the buttons a little harder, take the batteries out. Most of the times it still works. The other day I thought, well, you know, we've got eBay now. I could probably get a brand new replacement. I'll bet somebody's got this old clock that I got in 1971. Sure enough, there are several out there that weren't cheap. So you know, I can have a brand new clock. I laid the money out, $100 plus shipping. Clock came in the mail 4 days later. Little box. I put it next to my night table. I said, I'm going to set this all up tomorrow. I laid there in bed and I looked at this clock. I just stared at it, and the memories just started flowing through about where this clock has been with me. This clock went to the White House in 1972 when I met Richard Nixon. This clock went to the White House when I met Ronald Reagan. This clock went across the nation and across three continents. Woke me up every day like clockwork, pardon the pun. I thought, gee, you know, it served this good life. It's time to replace it. I'll save it for posterity, because it's been such a good clock. Then I rolled over and I saw my wife laying quietly next to me. And I suddenly realized my wife has been to those same places, stood by me since the day we met. A little bit more crotchety and cranky for time. Legs not working so well, back's in pain. I haven't thrown her out yet. And I saw the big picture. I guess the light of God came down. I said, you know what? Nothing's perfect in life. And when something sticks by you for 30 or 40 years, that's saying something. And I took that brand new clock that I just paid $100 for. I opened the drawer to the nightstand, put it in there. I said, if my little clock ever goes, I'll have that spare. But for now, my good friend is staying with me, as is my wife, and my old cat and all my old friends. I say that because, you know, you talk about like when Obama came in, he wanted change and this, you know, Biden comes in, they want to change. They want to change the world. They want to do a master reset. You know, a master reset is not always needed. A change is not always needed. And sometimes we need to think these things through and realize what's been good to us and what has not. We should change those things that are not good, not the ones that have worked. Anyway, moral of the story is that the world is getting worse because people want to rebuild it and revision it. And it's up to us to keep God in our hearts and our minds and our souls, keep our family in our mind, and realize, you know, I realized that after 40 years in the fire service that it was time to hang up the boots. Most firefighters don't hang up their boots. They're always answering that call. And suddenly I said, you know what? God gave me my life. And while it's great to give unto others, you really need to consider yourself as number one. And like we say in the fire service, it's you number one, your partner number two, when you're out on a fire scene. And your family comes a very close number two, because when you're at that fire scene, you want to come out of that. So we need to look at what's good for us, for the people. And that's why I'm so adamant about this whole infrastructure bill and the change that this new administration wants. If you look at some of the changes they're looking at, some of them are pretty terrible. And we have this huge thing going on, and this whole thing about the funding for the infrastructure bill came about because they're looking to toll the bridges in Pennsylvania. Now, they already told us, I mentioned this last week, they told us that they're not going to toll the roads for only their turnpike, which is the most expensive road in the world in Pennsylvania. But they found a way around it. They're going to toll the bridges. Oh, we need to fix the bridges. But let's give most of the money to the Pennsylvania Police Pension, to SEPTA, to the Transportation Authority in Philadelphia, to Scranton and to Wilkes-Barre, the inner city transit. This is what this infrastructure bill is all about, folks. And so I started doing, I said, you know what? There's a meeting coming up that I want to attend. We're going to decide whether or not they're going to toll these bridges. They want to talk to the citizens about it. And I said, you figure out, you know, we're getting all this money from the federal government all of a sudden. Where the heck's the money coming from and where's it going? Where's it going that we have to have our bridges tolled? And then I found an interesting article on factcheck.org. It has some interesting, they do a lot of really good research. They're not funding it. You know what, over the summertime, I actually downloaded a congressional document that showed where the funding was going to come from. And I've been touting this thing about, oh, they're going to raise the gas tax and they're going to do this. And it's all part of, as soon as this basic infrastructure bill, not the fancy socialist platform that they're looking to pass, but they're just the basic one. All of a sudden, that's gone. You can't find that anywhere on the internet. You can't find that on the Congress. You can't find that anywhere. It seemed quite specific. But now they're saying that it's not paid for. You know, it's up to the states to pay for this, but the federal government is going to mandate this stuff. They're going to say, go fix your bridges. They're not going to give us money to fix them. How do you like that? What do you think of that? Their recommendation is toll the roads. Bet you didn't know that. Congress is telling the states they need to find the money to fund their bill. Now, it does claim, according to this article, it claims that there's a $491 billion in offsets. Now, this is interesting. The wording, you have to watch the wording here. Offsets. I love that term. However, many of these pay-fors count savings that have already occurred. And this website, they estimate that only about $200 billion is working. And what the heck is an offset? That's what I'm wondering. Because the Democrats even are wondering how they're going to pay for this and whether or not it's paid for. Because Biden claims it was paid for. And Biden insists still, and his whole group down in D.C. insists that they don't want to add any additional tax on anyone making less than $400,000 a year, which is why they did not want a gas tax. Hey, I can go for that, but where are you going to get the money? They're saying some of the COVID-19 money was not used and can be returned to the. It's already at the states. The states are supposed to use it for relief. But no, they want us to use it for the infrastructure plan to give it a kickstart. So it's showing that you're going to increase debt because a lot of these funds that they're using for this plan to bolster this plan would actually be going back to the U.S. Treasury, which means that those savings would actually amount to increased debt, translated money printing. The Washington model calls for that deficit-financed spending. That's a quote. Deficit financed spending. It's something that increases the debt relative to the baseline. Now, this is a very powerful sentence, folks. Deficit financed spending. That means you're borrowing money that you don't have. And it increases the debt relative to the baseline. What does that mean? Now think about what that means. That means that inflation is going to explode. You blow the balloon up, you make it bigger, print more money and make it bigger, and everything gets more expensive. Hopefully the wages go up with it. That looks like you owe less. And July 28th press conference this year, after Senate procedural vote moved the bill forward, Senators Robert Portman and Kyrsten Sinema, the lead negotiators, both said that the legislation was paid for. It's paid for. We can do it without raising taxes, said Portman, a Republican. We can do it without. We can. Come on. Well, I wish I could do that. I'm going to buy a new house tomorrow. I'm going to buy me a Mercedes-Benz and a Lamborghini Countach, 1974, refurbished, put it in my new garage. And I'm not going to pay a dime for it because it's paid for. Other senators who were involved in negotiating the package reiterated that also. This is paid for. Our infrastructure bill is all paid for, Democrat Joe Manchin said on CNN State of the Union on August the 1st. The same day on the Senate floor, Senator Mitt Romney said the bill wouldn't raise taxes and instead would take some money that had been appropriated but not used for COVID-19 relief. This is a bill which is paid for. Mark Goldman, Senior Vice President and Senior Policy Director of the Committee for Republican Federal Budget, calls the claim a half-truth because the bill is essentially half paid for. Whatever that means. So they're talking about these spending offsets, and I'm trying to figure out where they're coming from. I think they're taking monies that were already allocated for these different areas and rejiggering them for the new modern reset that they're doing. Robbing Peter to pay Paul, basically, is, I think, the translation, the best translation. And for instance, they sold wireless spectrum to be used for wireless internet, cell phones, etc. It's already been sold, but the money hasn't been allocated. So there's money to pay, help pay for the project, is what they're saying, to the tune of $20 billion. Drop in a bucket for what they want to spend. Problem is, it's not a valid way of budgeting. Determining how much a bill costs involves looking at how much the legislation will change the federal budget compared with not having the legislation. For COVID-19 relief, unemployment insurance, and spectrum sales, for the most part, the answer is the legislation will do nothing. The bill doesn't generate money. None of it is actual savings. So they're cherry picking. They're picking out bits and pieces and saying, we can put these together and we'll have enough money. But they're not, because these things are not paid for. These things are already debt financed. Nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office hasn't released an analysis of the bill yet, but Goldwyn says CBO will not find that the bill is paid for. Another one. So we have a bill that's going to cost us $1 trillion, give us nothing in return, unless you live in the inner city. And even under that, it's going to benefit the rich. Allegedly won't harm anybody under $400,000. I'd love to see that, $400,000 a year income. Hey, I got a question for you guys out there. Did you happen to see that unicorn the other day flying through the sky? I think I've just seen that. Man, there's a couple of those unicorns flying over that rainbow towards the pot of gold. The Penn-Wharton budget model is a process of analyzing the bill. When it ran the numbers on previous version of legislation, which carried a $579 billion price tag, which is half of what it is now, less than half, it said it was funded by a mix of deficits, user fees, and other tax provisions. The version also included unused COVID-19 relief funds and the unemployment insurance, as well as money from wireless spectrum sales. Under that bill, government debt would increase by 0.4% the first decade. But by 2050, the spending dropped and reversed. The revenue increased due to higher output. The government debt would decrease by 0.9%. CRFB calls one piece of the funding bill for that bill a gimmick. $3 billion of centers expected from what is called pension smoothing. There's a good term. Pension smoothing. I love when they come up with these terms. Doesn't actually raise any revenue in the long term, however. Smoothing lowers the amount businesses have to contribute to pension plans, so they'll end up paying more in income tax in the short term. But someday in the future, they'll have to make up that difference, which leads to a serious drop in tax revenue. So other pay-fors include a delay in the rebate for Medicare prescription drug plans to save $51 billion and harm the seniors. And a new tax reporting requirement for cryptocurrency, which the industry isn't happy about. Now, you know, I got to say something. Cryptocurrency is pretty cool. But right now, it's basically money laundering because there's literally no reporting. And it's cool to be free with that sort of thing. I see where they're coming from, though. In fact, the Treasury Department the other day was saying that, it was on Monday, they were saying that they approve of a what they call a stable coin. A stable coin tracks the U.S. dollar. So for every dollar you buy, you, no matter what happens to the actual inflation or anything else, that dollar's worth a dollar. $1 is $1. So stable coin is basically a dollar bill, but it's not run by the government. And the Treasury actually said that they don't want to see the U.S. have a crypto coin of their own. They figure what they've got right now is sufficient. But if you're losing all that money, you're looking at people dumping their money in these things. That's why you see these rich people going out and buying these $50 million paintings and NFTs, this fake air that they're getting and paying tens of millions of dollars for this stuff. It's basically laundering their money. So they don't have to report it to the IRS. So I don't know if anybody's heard. Nancy Pelosi said they were going to vote on that $3 trillion amendment to that bill today. And I heard nothing about it. It was supposed to be done this afternoon or something. I hope it doesn't pass. But I haven't heard exactly what's happened with that. I don't think they're going to get the votes for it. I hope they don't. It's bad enough what we've got now, and how they're going to pay for it, I don't know. If you want to see this, you can go to factcheck.org and do a search for senators claim the infrastructure bill is paid for. And it's about a 4-page or 3-page document. But I went searching after that to find any other funding for this plan. And all the funding that all the funding sources that were listed in that congressional hearing on this back in August are gone. Oh, they had some things that were going to take money from everyone. I think that what happened is that we realized that, you know, the Biden administration with Biden, what is it, a 36% approval rate now? I think they suddenly realized if they start taxing the middle class and the poor, like the seniors, like they said they were not going to do, and people earning under $400,000 a year, they're going to have to start to learn negative numbers. They're going to have to get into that college math and learn negative numbers and how to calculate and divide negative numbers. Those ratings are going to go so low you won't be able to even figure them out. I kind of hope that's the way it would go too, because it's just, I mean, we're in a bind, folks. We're going to follow this very closely as this thing gets signed and see what actually occurs, because it changes. It's a moving target and it changes from day to day. Topic for next week, I'm not sure at this point. We have so much going on right now. I'm sure it'll be something about Biden, and you can't stop talking about the plans in the White House. And hey, I heard Kamala Harris speak the other day. She actually opened her mouth. My wife looked at the TV when she was talking. She goes, God, I don't want to hear that smug voice of hers. She learned that's what they make mute buttons for. Hey, we're going to call it a night. We will see you this time next week. With the next topic, be sure to pass our podcast on. Let all your friends know. Let their friends know that we're here every Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for a half an hour. And we will not be here. Ooh, next week is Thanksgiving. We will not have a podcast. I'm glad I thought of that. There will not be a podcast on Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving Day is a day for giving thanks. It's the day for being with your families. Take the earbuds out of your ears. Take the phones out of your hand and sit with your family, your friends, your loved ones. Praise God that we're here on this great planet, in this great country. And we still have the ability to speak, at least to some extent. God bless every one of you. We'll see you in 2 weeks. See you in 2 weeks. Have a great evening and a wonderful Thanksgiving, and be blessed. Yeah, let's go, Brandon. Latecomer, thank you for stopping by. We are ending tonight and say good evening to everyone and God bless. Thanks for everyone stopping by and sticking with this show. You're wonderful folks. Take care. God bless. And yeah, the fellow that came in late, or a lady, or I'm not sure if you're a man or a woman, every Thursday night, but we will not be here next Thursday because of Thanksgiving. All right. Have a good evening. We'll see you in 2 weeks. Take care. Bye now.